שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the second day, וב במר חשבון, פרשס לך לך, תפשיניין, וב, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 18 October 2015, webcasting from the clash between civilization and barbarism, between truth and lies. Well, since the last webcast, the scorecard here added more blood spilled, thanks to the bloodlust of Israel's Neanderthal neighbors, who tried several times since then to murder Jews and got shot dead a couple times, another couple of times wounded, I think. They went trying to stab a Jewish policeman and soldiers. The barbarians also burnt down, and not for the first time, the tomb of Joseph, Joseph the Righteous, in Shem. Such behavior is, of course, in a class with fellow Muslims in Afghanistan, Taliban, I think, 15 years ago, destroying those historic, gigantic carvings in a mountainside of the Buddha. That's in a class with the more recent destruction in Syria, closer to home, of the historic ruins at Palmyra. It's a variation on a theme of trying to destroy the past, die the past, and simultaneously celebrate Islam as the one and only true religion, which proves its truth by destroying all others. I long for the day when Israel rebrands the enemy is not the notional nation of Palestinians, but imperialist Arabi, the same Arabs who believe they have the right to conquer the whole world and destroy all other religions. The Arabs, the Muslims, are the last of the great imperialists. Israel has to rebrand the enemy as intolerant of other peoples who prefer not to live under their tyranny, not to submit to their false belief in the greatness of their religion, which facts show to be wildly untrue. I started last week a mini ad campaign for my book on Facebook. There's been no advertising, really. And I'm amazed at the hostility of the Jew haters out there and how they have also this perverse relationship to historical truth and historical facts. Remember Abbas, the great white hope of peace, the historian, denies the Holocaust, denies the Jewish temples on the Temple Mount. He has lied about alleged Israeli violations of the status quo. Last week he was lying through his teeth about the alleged death of that 13-year-old would-be assassin in Pisgat Zaev. He lied about how he was brought down. He was not executed, but a passing motorist who saw everything ran him over. Abbas and company said it was settlers who then pounced upon him and beat him. So the one upside to this latest festival of shedding Jewish blood for Allah has been the exposure of all of this lying by these Arab Muslim imperialists, pretending to be the victim of Jewish aggression. It has united Israel, and maybe really finally, as no other event, put the kibosh on the so-called two-state solution, whose premise is that the Arabs want peace if only Israel will surrender the high ground and drive a half million Jews from their homes. This has always been a religious crusade by Islam to destroy Jewish freedom. And so real peace, real change, can only come when Islam changes. There was a hopeful sign of that last week. This is from the Gatestone site of just 4 days ago. Quote, "The remarkable Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, donated land for a Hindu temple to foster cultural and religious tolerance and bring diversity to Abu Dhabi. The temple also fits newly passed UAE, United Arab Emirates, legislation establishing religious freedom." Wow. A Saudi opinionator, one Saleh al-Turigi, who has 143,000 Twitter followers, said this, "This is a huge leap from medieval thinking. Humanity is against aggression and stopping others from practicing their faith," close quote. And I say, amen. This touches on the nuclear core of Arabi's aggression against us and its inability to let us live free of their dictatorial ways and to practice our own faith. As devotees of Islam, which means submission, the freedom to believe what one wants is anathema to Muslims. And it's no coincidence that over the past years of this Islamic resurgence, we have been witness, literally, through the magic of modern videos and the internet, Muslims literally chopping off the heads of people who did not believe as they believe. It's almost a war against thinking itself. When a Muslim prays, he literally plays the slave, pressing his face to the floor so hard, they give themselves black and blue marks on their foreheads, which they then preen as evidence of their piety. So the Prince of Abu Dhabi donating land for a Hindu temple is amazing. You know, some people have made the case that the greatest massacre in history was not the Holocaust. The greatest was the artificially induced massacre by famine, created by Joe Stalin in the Ukraine in the 1930s, that killed off maybe 14 million of his own people. Others will say no, it was the 30 to 70 million people believed to have perished in Red China, thanks to Stalin's soulmate Mao Zedong. Others, though, I think, would agree that what the Muslims did in the Indian subcontinent to the Hindus, whose temples are warehouses of idols, was the greatest slaughter in human history. The Buddhists, too, in India were slaughtered for their idols of the Buddha. Indeed, though Buddhism originated in India, it was thoroughly exterminated by the Muslims, with the survivors, the saving remnant, escaping into the Himalayas to Tibet. And so here is a truly remarkable event, this act of tolerance for Hinduism. Well, may it spread. It spread to Israel as well, as fast as it can. The Muslims here, like Abbas and Erekat, truly are medieval fossils in their primitive psychological makeup. Last Thursday, Prime Minister Netanyahu held a press conference in which he spoke the truth that Abbas is inciting to murder. He said the first order of the day in fighting terrorism is moral clarity. Nothing justifies terrorism, he said. He spoke of Abbas's claim that Israel wants to take over the Temple Mount and spoke of Abbas's other big lie, claiming that the would-be murderer in Pisgat Zehev was executed by Israel. He also gave it to the BBC's longtime reporter, Lisa Doucette, for asking a question insinuating that Bibi has been refusing to meet with the Holocaust denier. In reply, he called her by name and asked, "Are we living on the same planet?" And then listed all the recent occasions in which he called for Abbas to meet with him anywhere with no preconditions. I mentioned this, this little ad campaign launched from my book's Facebook page, and how amazed I have been to read the naked Jew hatred of some posters, repeatedly characterized by these fantastical versions of history intended to make the Jews look bad that have no basis in history. Because my book makes the case that in history there was no Palestinian people, I have hit a nerve with these types who retort with these ridiculous claims for the past and how the Palestinians have really been living here for thousands of years. And I submit that on Friday, we saw a smidgen of this anti-Jew behavior in Lise Doucette's perversion of the history of just the last few weeks. Lying is the central dynamic of Jew hatred in every generation, and that has also been on display these last few days in the remarks in Washington of John Kerry and his boss, the communist Muslim. It was good news to read, though, of Ted Cruz and others lashing into Kerry for his ridiculous suggestion that these Muslim maniacs are driven to their infernal acts because Jews have been building more homes and communities built on barren hilltops. Kerry is apparently tone-deaf to the flavor of these knifings. Cruz told the Washington Free Beacon on Friday, quote, "Once again, Kerry and his staff have proven themselves utterly unfit for the positions they hold." He is referring to Kerry's spokesman, John Kirby, who seemed to accuse Israel of the same terrorism as these bloodthirsty Muslim madmen. But what most got my attention in recent days was the brief video clip I saw of Obama speaking one word at a time, obviously struggling to say something against the violence of these savages, but still he could not bring himself to speak the word Jew, Jews as their victims. I think this time he called them innocent civilians, and I was reminded of his ugly refusal last January to call the victims at the Yippee Kasher grocery in Paris, Jews. They were just some folks. This man's entire foreign policy in the Middle East has pivoted on his constitutional inability to say anything against Islam and anything in favor of Israel. His whole withdrawal of forces from the Middle East has been rooted in his aversion to sending infidel soldiers, American soldiers, to attack fellow believers. His anemic campaign against ISIS is more evidence of that, how reluctant he is. Last week we learned that the U.S. no longer even has one aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. He stripped that force of its presence here, I have no doubt, to prevent Israel from even thinking of attacking Iran, for there would be no backup of American assets in the event that they were needed. Abbas and Obama, birds of a lying Islamic feather.
Sason v'simcha Chatan Chatan v'chala Gila Rina Ditsa v'chedva Ahava Sason v'simcha Chatan Chatan v'chala Asher bara Sason v'simcha Chatan Chatan v'chala Rina Ditsa V'chedva Ahava V'achva Gila Rina Ditsa V'chedva
Yeah, there's been an upside to these terrible days of tension, and that's been the exposure for all of Israel to see of the dishonesty of our enemies, and by enemies I mean, not just the local knife boys, but Kerry, Ban Ki-moon, Laurent Fabius, the MSM. Ban Ki-moon praised Abbas for protesting the burning of Joseph's tomb last week. This was his first criticism of his people's behavior, which now totals since October 1st, 27 terrorist attacks that have killed 8 Israelis and wounded more than 70 others. Ban Ki-moon called on, quote, all sides to respect the sanctity of holy sites and refrain from inflammatory actions or statements and reject the extremist elements that are pursuing a political agenda to transform the current situation into a religious conflict, close quote. And there are a couple things here that are just disgusting. As usual, the implicit moral equivalence between the two sides, doing more or less the same thing. All sides, he said, must respect the sanctity of holy sites. When one side does that and the other does not. Also, that last bit about transforming the situation into a religious conflict is virtually a direct quote from the mouth of Abbas, even as he and his minions have done precisely that. They're the ones shrieking about aggression against their holy site, when they are the aggressors against our holy site. They're the ones who fan the flames of this religious conflict. Also gratifying was the report last Friday in the Washington Free Beacon that Congresswoman Martha McSally of Arizona, a retired Air Force colonel, is pushing a proposal to cut off $5 billion that the U.S. is slated to pay the PA. She wants to see a stronger push by Obama to get the PA to stop fanning the flames of terrorism, which is obvious. And she wants to see Abbas and cronies sign off on Israel's right to exist. Although that formulation remains problematic, I think. Abbas and henchmen have long said they recognize the state of Israel. What they have never recognized is Israel as the state of the Jews, which is another proposition. And by implication, the right of us Jews to a state in our ancient homeland that we brought back to life. That is the formulation that Israel and friends should be demanding. Or a statement saluting Israel's right to a state independent of Muslim rule. Of course, Abbas could never sign off on that. No Muslim could, so long as Islam remains mired in a literal interpretation of the Quran, written in the Dark Ages. Peace will come when Islam outgrows its need to destroy all other religions and learns to tolerate freedom of conscience. Islam also has to learn to face the truth, face the facts of life as they really are. Following Bibi's press conference last Thursday, in which he debunked the lie that that 13-year-old would-be assassin in Pisgat Zehev was dead, even showed, I think, a picture of him in a Jewish hospital bed with Stars of David on the covers. Following the conference, press conference, Saeb Arafat said, Mr. Netanyahu's attack on President Abbas is a failed attempt to distract the Palestinian civilians, including children who are being systematically targeted for extrajudicial executions by Israel. And I say for the umpteenth time, when a man like this knows serious productive discussions toward mutual coexistence are possible. I mentioned before the Facebook ad for the book that I've done, and I was amazed at the cascade of historical claims made by the anti-Jews who attacked it. Just the advertising, the very title makes them crazy. It was, I'm confident, my old teacher, Edward Said, who introduced the term systematically into the lingo to describe Israel's aggression against his allegedly ancient nation in clear imitation of Nazi Germany's extraordinary logistics, the system they developed for gathering and exterminating all Europe's Jews. This anti-Jew on my webpage angrily wrote, more or less, that Israel has been engaged in systematically, ethnically cleansing Palestine. And all I could do was write back and say, quote, today there are in Israel 10 times the number of Arabs with citizenship as there were in 1949 when the ceasefires were signed. This is ethnic cleansing? Regarding the number of Arabs in Judea and Samaria today versus 1967, I'm less sure of the figures, but my guess is it's more than double. Anti-Jews throw words around like this with no fidelity to the truth and their meaning. This hater that full of anti-Jew cliches said he said many Palestinians have been driven from their homes And all I could answer is that not one Arab lost his home since 1967. The new settlements were built on barren hilltops. I'm really coming to the conclusion that so-called anti-Semitism is really and truly a mental disorder characterized by lies, delusions, fantasies, and hallucinations. The whole phenomenon reflects a kind of unreal mental state in which the Jew is conflated with the devil. Racist, fascist, imperialists we are. I once had a guy on Facebook who claimed that the Jews have not stopped stealing land and aggressing against the Ancient Ones since the beginning of the Enterprise, and as if we were, you know, in a league with Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun. And all I could do was write back that Tel Aviv was founded on sand dunes north of Jaffa in 1909, succeeding 106 years. We rampaging Jews have managed to overrun and conquer, expanding our empire all the way to the Jordan River, a whopping 50 miles inland. At this rate, we'll be in Baghdad in another 1,000 years. Watch out, Arabians. Here come the Jews.
לפני שאני, אני נסחף איתה. לפני שקיעה, זה הזמן שלי לחשוב. לפני שקיעה אני מתחיל לאהוב. לפני שתתנערי ומהפך ומיורי. לפני שלקלקלה לכו ונלך. אני נזכר בך ולפני שקיעה שלך ובאור עצום בעיניך. לפני שתתנערי ומהפך ומיורי. לפני שלקלקלה לכו ונלך. ובשקיעה מתעטף החושך, אבל עליי חור גדול יאיר, כי נר החושך, יהיה חסר ספר לאומי, ועלייך יזרח השם, ואור גדול עלייך אראה. שתתנערי ומהפך ומיורי. לפני שליקת קלה לכו ונלך.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Another top story here today, besides the Prime Minister's vigorous rejection of the nonsense out of the State Department, you know, Kerry and his spokesman, and Obama's tortured statement, likewise misconstruing reality here, which had a variety of ministers and politicians firing back. Was the report yesterday in France's newspaper Le Figaro that the French ambassador to the UN has introduced a draft text to station independent observers on the Temple Mount to identify possible violations of the status quo, close quote. This is so offensive in so many ways. First, the insult that we are like two children in a kindergarten fighting over a toy, we Jews and the ancient ones, and we need a responsible adult to keep order between us. It's obnoxious for claiming that the role of the monitor of our holiest sites belongs to the international community. It's mendacious for implying, once again, moral equivalence between us Jews and these savage barbarians. As I said last time, Israel has to reply by saying to the French, more or less, mind your own expletive-deleted business. Like Obama, the community organizer and state senator who thinks he understands the Middle East better than we Jews do, he's more qualified than Bibi, so too Laurent Fabius and France's intellectual offspring of Jew haters, from Voltaire to Edouard Romain. The implication of French and intellectual superiority and the implicit moral equivalence between Jews and these knife-wielding Muslim maniacs, the refusal to see it is that they are the ones who are violating the status quo by bringing rocks and firecrackers and iron bars onto the Temple Mount is simply infuriating. And I think that was the word used in the J-Post lead story on this. Israel's Minister of Public Security, Gilad Erdan, said this French initiative gives a prize to Palestinian violence, rightly so. Or maybe Fabius did not see the videos and Facebook posts by the Arabs on how to best knife an unsuspecting Jew in the back or in the neck or the throat is the, do-it-yourself murder chart, which takes me back to the upside of this recent wave of Arab-Muslim barbarism. They are so transparently the vicious aggressors, constantly lying with the enlightened and the Western MSM, Obama, Kerry, insisting on moral equivalence. It has galvanized Israelis to be clear, as never before, and resolve, for the first time in my life, I think, I've noticed they finally are waking up to the anti-Semitism, old-fashioned Jew hatred, which they never thought applied to them. The upside has been yet another stake in the heart of the Israeli left to continue to hope for the two-state solution, i.e. the expelling of hundreds of thousands of Jews from their homes, because they are fingered by the left as the obstacles to peace. That's the subtitle of my book. In light of the demented cruelty and violence of these savage Arabs, their scenario, the left's, looks increasingly dopey from day to day. Now, all we've got to do is hold on until those enemies in the White House and the State Department go home, and one hopes a saner president and secretary of state will take their place. Lastly, here's the text of a letter I sent to J Post hard copy this morning. Sometimes the letters editor there prints me. Sometimes he does not, this leftist. I wrote, quote, "Your correspondent on your front page, October 18, and then I cite the headline, wrote, quote, "Since October 1, 7 Israelis have been killed and dozens wounded in 30 stabbing or attempted stabbing attacks by Palestinian terrorists," close quote. I think a more accurate description would be, "Since October 1, 7 Jews have been murdered by Muslim assassins." After all, the killers are known to, in their striving to reach Muslim paradise via homicide and suicide, to shout out as they strike Allahu Akbar. And since they commonly deny even the existence of Israelis, their targets are, in their own eyes, less Israelis, as reported here, than the same evil Jews written about in their Quran. Moreover, since there's nothing Palestinian about these knife-wielding maniacs, neither their mother tongue nor religion is indigenous to Palestine, assassins, derived from the Arabic, might also be a more accurate description than the cliched Palestinian terrorists. Shai Bentakoa. Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, and I'll be back, God willing, until on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.